You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, afford anything you want in life by investing in real estate and creating passive income. And in today's show, I am super pumped to bring on a fantastic real estate investor who, as a stay-at-home mom, bought property after property, eventually had enough properties to help her husband quit his job, and now they are financially independent. They're going to show us how they did it and how you can do it as well. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
What's up? What's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. Now, I am excited to bring on my guest because a lot of people think that they can't invest in real estate. Like, they don't have the time to do it. They don't have the insights. They don't have the knowledge or anything like that because they find that their limitations are really holding them back. They don't realize that these limitations are things that they can easily get past. My guest that I'm bringing on is a stay-at-home mom, and she invests in real estate, and her also has done so well that her husband's just about ready, or by the time this is aired now, he's probably quit his job, but because they have cash flow coming in from their properties, they're able to become financially independent. And last week, I was in Africa, the country of Tanzania, on a 10-day safari with a bunch of real estate investors. Now, these real estate investors are not quote-unquote experts. They're not people who have been doing this for 20 years or anything like that. No, they're regular everyday people just like me and you. And we got together and we were masterminding together. They were asking me loads of questions on how they should invest and what they should do. But we just had a fantastic time seeing all this amazing wildlife. Like, we saw cheetahs. We saw a cheetah cub jump on one of our vans, which was super fun. We even saw multiple leopards, which they're rare to see. Saw the black rhino, tons of lions, lots and lots of gazelles and zebras. But that was amazing, seeing all that stuff in a safari. But what was even more amazing was masterminding with 16 other real estate investors, seeing how we can get better, how we can grow. And that's the power of a mastermind. That's the power of being around other people, is you see what they're doing and you see how they invest. In fact, Zach Zimmer, one of my friends who has his own podcast, The Passive Income Life, he came on the event, the entire safari with us. He even climbed Mount Kilimanjaro afterwards, which was pretty amazing. In fact, my goal in life, I have two goals. One is to never run a marathon. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do that. Another one is to never hike Mount Kilimanjaro. I say that jokingly, but he really wanted me to go on. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But he came with me and the other real estate investors on the safari in the mastermind. He was sharing with them so many insights that they were blown away at how they can invest just like he does, very easily. And he's walking them through. Well, honestly, this is the power of a mastermind. This is the power of getting around people that are doing things that you want to do, and how you can help them, they can help you. And so you can join me in my personal mastermind. I have a mastermind summit coming up. It's going to be in Denver, September 19th through the 21st, fly out the 22nd, but 19th through the 21st, we're going to be masterminding with 15 other real estate investors. I have a couple spots left. And if you want to be with me, number one, you know, be around me and all of my friends. I'm bringing Tom Sylvester, Michael Kwan, and Adam Carroll, three amazing guys that are in my personal mastermind. I've been masterminding with them for 7 years. Man, it's been that long. But we've grown so much in our investing in our lives because of masterminding together. Well, you can join us and be a part of the mastermind that we're putting on to help you get out, basically to break through. and get past all of these roadblocks, as well as coach you, as well as giving you insights and walk you through, even doing hot seats. That's where you jump on the hot seat. You're sharing what your problems are, your hangups, or you know, your roadblocks, or I can't get this deal, or I can't get that deal. And then all of the experts weigh in and try to help you get past those roadblocks. We have so many amazing things that we're doing for this Mastermind Summit. You don't want to miss it. Check the link in the description. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind. All one word, masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind. The link will be in the description. But you need to be in the right room with the experts that are currently doing it. And you guys know, I don't do one-on-one coaching anymore. I have my students. They now became coaches. We have three coaches now that are students. We have four total, including the multifamily investing coaching that we do here at Master Passive Income. And with all of these people, you're going to be getting so much coaching, so much insights, as well as be masterminding with other investors who are at your level, where you guys can hopefully mastermind or invest together or partner together on deals. The magic is being in the right room, and I am putting you in that right room. Again, join me in Denver, Colorado, September 19th through the 22nd. Check the link in the description, masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind. Now, in today's show, I am bringing on a fantastic expert who has just bought property after property after property, and each one making them more and more passive income, where now she, as a stay-at-home mom, bought properties, and then now has retired her husband. She's going to show us how she did it, and you can do it too. I'm bringing on Casey Franchini on the show to show you how anybody can do this, and you can too. Here we go. Thank you so much for being on the show, Casey.
I am so excited to be here, Dustin. I can't wait to get into our conversation today.
Well, this is fantastic. So we connected on Instagram, and honestly, like, I really hated social media until I realized the power of it. And then how much fun it is. Like, now, I don't get me wrong, there's a lot of work into building up an Instagram following. But when you see, or at least how I find, when I see people's lives change, that man, Dustin, because of this or because of that, because of what you've done and helping me to understand how to invest, like, I've changed my life. That's amazing. And so we connected there. And then I saw that you traveled from Tennessee all the way to California and back, and you took September off. Tell me about that. Like, tell me about that trip. Tell me about how you can, as a homeschool mom, can do that and not have to worry about money coming in.
Well, thank you for asking the question, because no one's asked me this yet. So I'm so excited to share. Oh my gosh. So, you know, we've been investing since 2016. It hasn't been very long, but we have found financial freedom. We're work optional.
Very long. Most people started in like 2020, 21. Don't downplay it. Okay. 2016 is okay. Great. Yes, you're doing great.
Been a long time, but you know, we're work optional, and my husband doesn't really have to work. He's very flexible. Matter of fact, he's probably not gonna be working soon. Like, this may be it. I keep saying that, but this may be it. It's very soon for him. And the only other thing holding us back from enjoying life is, you know, school. So it's like, great, you know, you're work optional, you don't have to go to work anymore, but you have kids who have to go to school Monday through Friday. So I said, you know, besides the traveling idea, I didn't like a lot of things about the school system and yada, yada. My kids are doing great in school and all that. But I thought, you know, I can do a better job at home, you know, especially after, oh gosh, what I bet I read a book, Dumbing Us Down.
Great book.
OMG. If anyone has not read that book, it's a must read for anyone, not just real estate investors. But, you know, if you went to school in your life, you should read it. So that really opened my eyes to why I shouldn't have my kids in public school. So last year I took them out and I said, we're going to make the most of our life. We have financial freedom. We don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. We can blow money if we want. We don't like to blow money. Although this year I did buy my dream car cash, because I've been wanting it really badly for years. It was just a GMC.
What was
Yukon.
It?
Nothing crazy. GMC. I got a Yukon, a GMC Yukon XL.
Love it. Yeah. I'm a truck guy.
You know, yeah. Mom car, you know, but I was never going to buy a minivan. That was a hard no for me. So I finally got my white GMC Yukon.
Minivans
XL.
Are amazing though. We had a minivan for like 7 years. It's like a Swiss Army knife vehicle. It has everything. It's so much room. But anyways, go ahead. Keep going.
So, and we actually, Dustin, bought bought the car, we had to hurry and buy it because we wanted to go on a trip. And we didn't have another reliable vehicle. The car I had before was a 2012 GMC Acadia, and it was like breaking down. And my husband has an F-150. So I'm like, I need my new car now, you know? So it was new to me. It was barely used. It was a couple of years older, but oh my God, they're over 100,000 new, and I wasn't going to do that. So we bought it. And then 6 days later, we got in the car and we said, we're leaving town. Now, I hate planning vacations. My neighbors, my friend Marie loves to plan vacations. I can't stand planning vacations. So I said, let's do a trip where I don't have to sit and plan for like a month. So I was like, why don't we go on a road trip? And we love to go camping, but we weren't going to do that. Let's just get in the car, put some clothes in. It's September. Bring some pants, some jackets, whatever. We'll hit up some washing machines along the way and let's just go. We'll end in California because we have some friends and family there. We'll spend some time with them. That's the only thing planned. And I don't know how long it'll take us to get there. And I don't know how long it'll take us to get back. But we hit the national parks on the way there. We went to Sedona and the Grand Canyon. And on the way back, we went all through Colorado and all through Utah and did all of that. It was amazing. And we happened to come back exactly 4 weeks later. I was starting to feel a little like, well, I should probably get home and get some stuff done, you know, but otherwise I didn't miss not cooking dinner for the whole month. Didn't miss that at all. Didn't miss that. I'm definitely going to eat out every day for the rest of my life. And I did not miss not having to clean up at home after my kids. So it was fantastic. And, you know, I was talking to one of my friends, Michael Zuber, about it. And he's like, you know, Casey, what does it feel like to you to be able to just get up and go do that? And I said, you know, it feels like I don't have any responsibilities. Like the weight has lifted. There's no burden to have to make a paycheck. You know, I can do what I want and there's no stress. It's stressless. You know, there's stress here and there, but as far as finances, it's stressless. And it's all because of real estate. If we hadn't started buying rentals, we wouldn't be where we are today. I mean, I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. It's not like we had two incomes. My husband didn't even make six figures. So we were able to do all of this on one income, not even six figures, you know, in 6, 8 years, whatever.
How long have you guys been married now?
Well, I'm not good at math, you know, good thing real estate is just adding and subtracting. But we got married in 2009. So whatever long.
Awesome. We were 2006 when we got married. So yeah. Then, I mean, thinking of the same thing with me, even though I'm not a stay-at-home mom, we had one income too. My wife's a stay-at-home mom. We homeschooled ever since the beginning. And so now we have five kids. We're really blessed to have five kids. And the idea of investing, it was daunting at first, you know, where it's like, we only have one income. We barely have any money to afford anything. How do we buy a property to invest? And everybody has these problems that they run into. Somebody might say, well, you had this and you had that, but I don't have this. Well, my opinion, everybody has something, a strategic benefit to themselves. You can call it, I think the woke people call it, what, like privilege or whatever you call it. But like everybody has something that can help them get in that direction. They just got to find it. And so they have to able to put effort in behind their idea of like, I want to change my life by investing in real estate. How did you do that? Like being a stay-at-home mom, one income, and then buying your first property. And that's quote unquote risky, or most people think it's risky, when I know it's more risky working for somebody else because you'll get fired or laid off at any time. But how did you guys get started with a limited income and you being homeschool mom?
I know. So funny. Okay. So I was a real estate agent in California before we moved to Tennessee. So nobody bought rental properties there. I just helped people buy and sell. That was it. I worked with some investors, so I understood flips. My dad was constantly fixing our house we lived in growing up for the 10 years. Like it was a constant fixer. So I learned a lot how to rehab properties. So, okay, I had that, you know, knowledge under my belt. Well, we moved to Memphis with the promise of I could be a stay-at-home mom and I wouldn't have to work because we could afford a house here on a single income.
What year was this?
Tennessee. This was 2013.
Got it.
2013. So we buy a fixer upper and we're still living in it today. Still fixing up just like my parents' house. Still always, we just put can lights in the hallway and installed interior doors, although they aren't painted, you know, one thing at a time. But we moved here in 2013, and I had a 2-year-old and a 3-week-old baby. I knew absolutely nobody. I had no friends. So being, you know, postpartum, having a brand new baby, leaving my mommy and my daddy and my sister, I was very depressed. And it was very depressed. My husband went to work every single day, got in the car, went, came home. And I was depressed because I was raised to be an entrepreneur. My dad was an entrepreneur. My sister is an entrepreneur. And I, being a stay-at-home mom, yeah, I wanted that. But once I was doing it, I wasn't sure if that's really all that I was meant to be. Like, it wasn't fulfilling as like it should, you know? So I said, all right, I need to do something else. And I don't want to go to work. I don't want to put my kids in daycare. So what can I do to make money that is going to let me have my cake and eat it too, right? I want to stay home with my kids, but I want to make money. Well, I'm not doing one of those MLM schemes. You know, I'm not going to sell the juice drinks or the belly bands or whatever. That's stupid. I'm not doing that. My dad used to do Amway a long time ago, back in the day when I was very young. So I told my husband, hey, we're going to buy rental properties. We moved to Memphis. This is the rental property capital of the world. And, you know, pretty much always on the top 10, top 5 list, sometimes 1 and 2 spot for best rental markets. Like, we are not squandering our opportunity and we are going to buy rental properties. Like, I was a real estate agent. I understand how to do it, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Casey, we just bought our first house.
And I want to pause for just a quick second and say thank you so much for listening to the show. If you've gotten anything out of the show, I would appreciate it if you went to anywhere that you listen to, say Apple or Spotify or wherever, and leave a 5-star review. Honestly, I really appreciate you leaving an honest review. I just love giving all this information out and I want to see you succeed. Also, send this to one person. Just tell one person, say, hey, Dustin wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. You need to listen to this because it's going to change your life. Lastly, get my real estate investing course completely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, rental to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course showing you everything in the business so that you can become financially independent.
Like, you're not working. We just put tens of thousands of dollars into our first property and it's a fixer. And you're not going to go to work. Where are we going to find money for this rental property? He looks at me and says, I support you, but I'm laughing. You're insane. And I don't like people telling me no. So I said, all right, well, I'm going to figure it out. So I was like, all right, what am I going to do? Well, I don't want to be a realtor because I really couldn't stand being a realtor. I hated it. Wasn't going to do that again. And I didn't want to get a job. So what can I do? I thought, well, what girl doesn't like to make crafts? Can I make some money selling crafts? No, I'm not artistic or anything like that. And my husband's like, well, what about, you know, buying like a Cricut or a Silhouette machine, one of those die cutting machines. You've seen like people make Disney t-shirts or they make these tumblers and, you know, with the vinyl. And I was like, okay, well, I can't design. So I had to figure out how to get around that. Dustin, I waited probably 3 months before I spent the $300 on this machine. Okay. I thought $300 was a lot of money to spend on a machine that may or may not make me any money. But by golly, if I want my down payment for my rental property, I'm going to have to make some money somehow.
Well, when you're starting out, $300 is a lot of money.
Right. And it was. And looking back, you know, and my husband even said at the time, he's like, Casey, if you don't end up making any money with this Etsy shop, you're going to start, you know, selling these handmade, you know, this personalized items, at least you will have learned a valuable skill for our family and you can make stuff for our family. I'm like, you're so sweet. That's why I married you. You know, he's always so supportive of everything. So I did it though, Dustin. I worked nights when my husband got home from work. I worked in between my kids' naps. I would slide out of bed while they were sleeping and come upstairs to my office, which is, this is the office right now. It used to be my crafting room. Now it's my real estate office. And I spent every night, every weekend, and during nap times. And it took me 1.5 years, but I saved up $20,000. Now, I know that that's not a lot of money. But you know, I was selling $5 items, $10
Stop
items.
Stop selling yourself short. My goodness. Come
okay,
on, Casey.
I know. I'm bad with that.
That's
bad
a ton
with
of
that.
Money.
Really,
that's hard work. And most people.
It was hard work.
Yeah. Most people would not take the initiative to pay the $300 to do it. And then from there, work that hard and sacrifice, even forego sleep. To get to, I mean, $20,000. So 2016, it's definitely not like today. $20,000 in right. 2025 is it. I mean, it's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. It's definitely a lot of money, but it's not,
it's
like
not the same. Yeah.
Not 2016, but to work that hard to get that much money. I mean, that is awesome. So continue on the story, but you need to stop selling yourself short. really awesome.
Okay, I know. I'm so bad with that. That's one of my downfalls. I do sell myself short. And then I think, well, how am I going to ever be greater if I'm happy with myself? You know, it's this internal struggle. Like, I always got to be not completely satisfied, or I won't try harder. You
well,
know, mental things.
You do need to also at the same time be okay with yourself and where you are. And then in general, you know, being a Christian, we look at where Paul the Apostle tells us that we need to be content in everything. Now, we want to work harder for other things, which is absolutely we should, but being content where we are, it's actually a good thing to be content, because you're not wanting, you're not getting idols, you're not in a prideful, arrogant way. So continue on, but I want to encourage you that you're going on the right path.
Well, thank you. Okay, so I saved up my 20 grand. And we use that with my husband's income. So we use his income to qualify for the loan. We bought our first rental property. It was $92,500. It was in East Memphis in Tennessee. And we rented, we did a 20-year loan. I didn't really know better at the time. I wouldn't do that now. I would keep the 30-year, but we didn't do a 20-year loan. I forget the interest rate. It was 5-something, I think. And at the time it rented for 1050, 1095, something like that. And we were bringing in like $400 in cash flow a month just from the one property.
So after the mortgage, are you managing the properties yourself?
Yes. So I'm managing myself. So that would be after the fixed expenses, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, there's no HOA. You know, yes, that's not true cash flow. I know all of the investors out there.
No,
but
they just say those things because they don't, they want to be argumentative, and that, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So I was putting in my pocket $400 a month. Yes. From that, we would have to do any repairs, et cetera, but there wasn't any. We've owned this property since 2016. The only thing we've ever done to it really since then was a tree fell on the house during a storm. So we had a new roof, but insurance helped pay for that. And we did put a granite countertop on, and we painted the cabinets and added some hardware. We've done hardly anything to this house, Dustin, since 2016. And now it rents for $1,525 a month.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, do you still have the mortgage? Have you paid that off?
We only owe like $40,000 left on it. So we can
mortgage,
definitely pay it off.
Right?
Yeah, the mortgage is really low.
I mean, the rates.
We can pay it. The rates, yeah, 5-something. So I'm not going to pay it off. We have houses with higher rates that we pay off first.
Absolutely.
So
I'd keep that mortgage for as long. I have one, I bought a property in Houston. I think I still owe like 130, 180, something like whatever it is. And it's like a 4% interest rate. And it was a commercial loan or like a investment property loan. I'm like, I'm not paying that off any faster. Like I used to, when I was, you know, long, when I didn't know what I was doing, I put extra money towards it. Cause we're always told, hey, pay off your mortgages. The Dave Ramsey, pay off your mortgages, which is not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad, but if you're an investor, you know how to do it wisely. You can use that money to make more money. So keep going. So you bought that first property and you worked your tail off to get $20,000, which is fantastic. Bought that property in 2016, East Memphis. And then what was the process to get the next property? And were you excited to get the next property?
Yes. And it's the asterisk word here is sacrifice. It's sacrifice. You know, you don't get to where you are by spending all your money, by spending your dollars. So my husband, for all the renovations that we did them ourselves. I told you my husband has an F-150. Well, he hasn't always had that. He had a Nissan Altima, okay, for years.
I like
years
him already.
Years.
That's awesome.
So imagine filling your trunk and backseat full of tools every day to go work on a property after work. And that's what he did. So he's really the true hero of the story. He did sacrifice so much for our family by going there every day after work till sometimes 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes longer, and fixing properties by hand. And I would go on the weekends. I had small kids, but I would go on the weekends. I would load up I had an Envoy at the time. My mother-in-law gave me an old car. I'd put my lawnmower in it, my leaf blower, all the tools, all the yard bags, and I would go do all the yard work. And I would even put my lawnmower in the back of our car and drive it every other week to mow the lawn when it was vacant. So I did all of that. And I helped demo and paint and scrape ceilings and do all the things. So it was sacrifice. You know, and my kids would come with me. We'd bring their lunch bags full, their little kids' lunch bags full of snacks, and bring a Frisbee and a football, and you're not getting my phone, but you can go play outside and you can help me paint and you can help me rake leaves and all of that. So as a family, we've been doing this for a long time, but it was sacrifice. I would watch my friends go spend $10,000 and go to Disney World for spring break. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that.
Well, you're 100% right. I had that same thought. It's like every penny that did not go to my real estate investing is a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year longer for me to become financially independent. And now I literally can go at any time that I want because it's delayed gratification. You know, sacrificing right. now for the benefit in the future. And then I'll also quickly interject. A lot of people think, well, we got to make sure our kids are happy. You know, they go to school and they learn there, but when they're with us, we're going to make sure that they're playing and all that sort of stuff. Not everybody thinks that, but how much better is it when you're homeschooling your kids and they're learning firsthand how to actively be not just an investor, but to make money, provide for yourself rather than working a job, that just over broke job.
And people, I love that you said that. And people relations. I mean, my daughter, my oldest, she's 13. And I recently took her with me to do tenant showings. You know, and this is how you scoop them out. And this is check their car and smell them. Do they smell like cigarette smoke when they tell you they don't smoke? And, you know, this, all the things, you know. And my son, he does the books for us. He inputs all of the receipts. He's 11.
What?
And since he was 9,
I gotta
and a
do
half,
that. What am I doing?
Well, I have to pay him, right? So I can pay less taxes.
Well, you should pay him $12,500 so that you would
they get definitely
all that
get
tax
paid
writer.
Under that. Yes, they do. I make sure they don't make anything more than that and they get their own W-2. I pay them. Yep. Even my 7-year-old has jobs.
Yes, my kids learn. Well, a lot of the reason why I have property managers take care of all the work. I don't want to do any work on that stuff. And so what my kids do, though, is they are learning how to invest in real estate as well as anything for master passive income, shipping out books, you know, because I just give away books and people just pay for shipping. And so they're the ones that print them up. My kids edit the podcasts. My kids do lots of stuff for master passive income because my real estate investing. I want to make it as automatic as possible. But one thing that we've done, I made it a goal and I was talking to all my kids. They want to be an investor. They just know that you can be an investor. And obviously they have me as their dad. That's going to help them in the right direction. Somebody might say, well, hey, they have an unfair advantage. I'm like, stop thinking about other people. Like stop thinking there's a negative about you. No, just focus on yourself. You have an advantage over people, whatever it might be. So my daughter, 16 years old, not 17 yet. In May, she's going to be turning 17, bought her first property. She bought her first property already. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So helped her. She learned just like all my students do, you know, take the courses and learning everything. Now she obviously does have the benefit that I already had the contacts. I already have because I'm going to make sure she does it right. So I'm not going to just say, you go do it off your own. No, I'm going to make sure she's set up right. So that hopefully every year she's going to continue to buy a house. And the one stipulation or I said, hey, if you're going to do this, you got to agree to this. Every penny that you make from in passive income from each property that we get, you cannot spend it for anything else. You need to save it for the next property. And she agreed. She said, 100%. I'm totally fine with that because Lord willing, in 10 years, she's at least going to have 10 properties and $1 million in assets and hopefully at least $4,000-$5,000 a month in passive income. And then all five of my kids, by the time they're 16, they need to be buying their first property and continue buying after that.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Such inspiration. So my daughter's 13 and we just got into making sourdough bread. Matter of fact, she's making her first loaf downstairs right now. And she says, Mom, I'm going to sell this. I'm going to sell. She found these influencers that sell sourdough bread in the city. And oh my God, I could charge, you know, $12 to $18 for this. And Now she wants to make butter, and we've already talked to a farm that does grass-fed cows and all that. I'm like, well, maybe we can get butter from them. And my husband's a smoker. She wants to make smoke-infused butter and sell that with the
bread. She's a hustler, just like your mom.
I know. And she said, do you think, this is what she said today, Dustin, kid you not this morning, do you think that I can save up enough money with this bread-making thing that I can buy my first rental property?
Yes.
I said, absolutely. Let's do the math. Let's figure out how many loaves of bread. So we found this influencer online. She says she sells 300 loaves of bread a week. Now, obviously, this is what she does now for a job, right? So I told her, well, that's anywhere from $3 to $4,500 a week this lady's making. You know, full-time job. This is, you know, her thing. And she's out of Nashville, actually. She's out of Nashville. And so I said, but this totally possible. And, you know, there's only one lady out here selling this. And people love to buy from a kid if it's good. So you have to practice your craft. you know? So I love how she's already thinking, how can I make money? And the money she makes isn't to spend, it's to buy real estate. So I love
Our
that.
families are so much alike. My wife has been doing grinding her own wheat berries and making bread, sourdough, like you name it, for a good, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And that is the healthiest food. The wheat, when you grind the wheat berries, you don't buy the flour from the store. That's just all starch. You grind the wheat berries. That and then homeschooling. So we have so much in common family-wise. That's just super cool. Well, I gotta ask you a question. I don't remember seeing this on Instagram. So, everybody, you need to go follow her on Instagram. Casey, what's your Instagram handle?
Brick by brick wealth.
That's right. I love that. Yes, how did I forget? Of course, I knew that. But yes, you can follow her on Instagram. But then at the same time, do you guys have chickens? Because my wife loves chickens. She just bought more today.
My kids want chickens so bad. We definitely have the room for it, but my husband's on the fence with chickens. So we have several neighbors with chickens. And my husband's like, you could just go to the neighbor's house and play with the chickens. So I grew up with chickens. I did. And now chickens, you know, eggs are $6 a carton. And so I was like, maybe we get chickens. We have a beautiful backyard. It has a swimming pool, gazebo, and my husband said, and then we're going to have chickens. So I'd have to convince him to get the chickens. But
My wife had to convince me too, but
yeah.
she just said, "Hey, I really want to do this, and we get the best eggs ever. You know, like we know exactly where they come from and everything." I said, and so I said, "Fine, babe, I love it. Go ahead, let's do it." I'm so happy. Like I'll definitely encourage your husband to say that it's not like you're going to save any money on the eggs at all from building the coop
Right.
to like all that sort of stuff.
All
But
the food.
yes, 100%. But with the chickens, you know exactly where the eggs are coming from. We were getting like that one time when we had the most before we moved out here, we were getting like 20 eggs a day. And we would eat so many eggs and then my kids would sell them, which is great. So, yeah, well, okay,
I love it.
let's go on back on the real estate track. When you decided to buy that second property and then scale, I think you had said you had 8 properties, if I remember seeing.
We have 9 now.
9 now. Oh,
Yeah.
yes, I did see you recently bought a new one. So talk about scaling now, because everybody, in fact, at Master Passive Income, when I coach everybody, there's three different, but it's a roadmap. There's an investor roadmap and there's three different sections. One is the beginner, mom and pop, 0 to 5 properties. You buy that first property, you've proved yourself that it works, and you got to start buying the next one. And then you move into the business owner or scaler, where you're scaling to build your business. There's its own struggles at each stage. And then you scale, and then eventually you stabilize. That's a big thing. And you stabilize your property so you get financial independence. Once you reach financial independence, you have more money than time because you have other things coming in, like you're building businesses and stuff. Then you're an investor. So it seems like you're on that path. You're now scaling it up. Talk to us about the next properties and how you're continually growing your business.
So buying one a year on average is what we've done. 1 year we bought none, 1 year we bought two. So on average, 1 a year, that's it. Again, on just a single income, not even six figures. Takes a lot of sacrifice, but we would save all of our money. We would do that. So scaling wise, my husband doesn't want a partner. I don't really want a partner. We don't want to do the burn method. We don't want to cash out refinance. We don't want to over leverage. We just want to buy them ourselves with a traditional 25% down every single time. Now, we do a lot of work. So we'll buy properties that need re renovation. We'll fix them up. We'll get our added equity there, but we're not cashing it out for more. So, you know, the way that I've found that we've made more money in the past few years is by upping the skill. So now that my kids are older and they're not babies anymore, I have more free time during the day. A little less now that I'm homeschooling now. But heck, I got up at 4:44 this morning. So maybe I'm going to be an early bird. I'm usually a night owl. But I have done so much today. If my day ended today, I would feel complete. Like it's been an amazing day. We're going to go play tennis later. My daughter's into tennis. It's going to be 2:00 p.m. We're going to go play tennis. Middle of the weekday, she's going to get to go play tennis. You know, so it's amazing homeschooling. But scaling wise, the best move anybody can make, really, the easiest thing to do is just make more money. Just make more money. You know, I have a coaching program now and I help people with their first rental property and I love it. And I would not have been able to take that risk in starting my own business if I didn't already have income coming in through real estate because it would have been too risky for it to invest time and money. And really, it's the emotion, it's your inside that is at risk, right? Because you try a business and you fail. And if you don't have the support and if you don't have money, you feel like a failure, you're not going to get back up and try again. And owning your own business, no matter what you're starting, whether it's a nail business, you know, doing girls' nails or buying a McDonald's, right? All of it requires risk, determination, hard work, and all those characteristics. So I wouldn't have been able to feel that confidence to take the risk to teach other people how to do what I do if I didn't have rental income and kind of just start from the beginning. So really, to scale, I mean, really, we're very basic and it's just make more money.
And anytime any student ever comes to me and says, hey, Dustin, I have this problem, X, Y, Z, whatever it might be. And usually my answer is, almost every single time, just start making more money, figure out a way to make more money. And that makes that problem go away. Well, it's a problem with my property that's not making money. Well, let's figure out a way to make more money to make this problem go away. We just have to figure it out. And I love the idea that necessity is the mother of invention. That's how you're going to figure out a new way that wasn't already there. And in fact, I think every investor, real estate investor, is not just an investor. You invest your money, but what we really are is a business owner. And we own a business that owns inventory. Our properties are inventory, and we just make sure that we have a business that runs itself. But the other thing, we're problem solvers. Whatever problem comes in our way, we need to figure out a way around it or talk to other people who've done it before. But like I said, like somebody might say, well, Casey, you had an unfair advantage. You had X, Y, and Z. You had these skills to create this Etsy shop, and maybe you got some, they're going to come up with lots of things that they impose on themselves. Like, I don't have that. No. You stop thinking about that. Stop thinking about what you don't have. Think about what you do have, and then start searching for other things that you can have in your life that you don't think you already have, but it's already there. You just didn't find it. And so now you've scaled. Now I want to ask, because you said you don't do the Burr method. You love having your properties like they are, which is fantastic. Everybody has different risk tolerances, different strategies, different goals. I've found too, though, that as you grow, the real way to, if you want to scale, not everybody wants to do this, but if you want to scale to 30, 40, 50 properties, the way is by using leverage and using other people's money. And I'll give you an example. I used a home equity line of credit just this last month, a home equity line of credit, pulled out $250,000, have bought three houses in Akron last month, like literally I'm closing today on another property. So I'm buying three with $250,000 home equity line of credit. Then those three are paid off, meaning there's no loan on those properties, but I have my home equity line of credit on another property that I have. So what I'm doing now is I'm refinancing, pulling all that money. In fact, I'm doing a DSCR loan. It's a 30-year fixed loan. It's fantastic. And I'm pulling out $292,000. So the amazing thing is I'm going to pay off my home equity line of credit. So that's going to be back down to zero. So now I have access to that capital to do it again. Then I have $42,000 back in my pocket, or extra in my pocket, that I'm going to be able to buy more properties with. And I make, I think it's $3,500 a month on all properties, all three properties. And my mortgage is only $2,000 or $1,900, a little over $1,900. So when I'm looking at it, I'm probably going to still passive income, well, I want to say at least $1,300, and put $42,000 in my pocket and have access to capital. But that's my risk tolerance. I'm okay to do that. My wife, she's grown. She's not normally like this. Like, I've helped her to grow into this. But that's what I've seen as a great way to scale, because now I have that $250,000 plus another $42,000 that I can do it all over again. So I have three properties, cash that back in, buy the next three properties, do it all over again, buy another. And hopefully within a year to 2 years, I'll have like 9 to 12 properties, because I just do it over and over again. What are your thoughts about doing something like that?
It's a great idea. I have a lot of students that do that. Also borrow from your 401k, taking some money from your brokerage account. Burr method, still good if you're experienced. I don't recommend that for newbies, obviously. It's a great idea. And I will say one thing that kind of holds us back from doing that, because we have a couple million bucks in equity and things, we could definitely, you know, have way, way, way more properties than we do. I want to move. Because I want to move, like we had talked about before we started recording, it's going to require a sizable down payment. I don't want to sell my current house. I want to keep it a rental property, even though it has a pool, because I'd probably make $2,000 a month in cash flow on this house. So it's like, well, you know, and it's kind of close to being paid off.
Never sell.
I know, never sell. The only thing is his house has a pool. It has a pool. So, oh, that's a negative. But, and I have to keep, you know, I would want my primary residence, my next one, to have the government 30-year loan, right? I want the best interest rate if I'm buying a expensive property. So I have to be able to qualify, which means I have to show Uncle Sam that I make money and I have to have healthy reserves and I can't spend it all. So as soon as I get my next property, my quote dream home, all bets are off and I'm buying DSCR. I won't need to qualify for anything and I'm going to be buying way more property.
Well, so you know that DSCR doesn't show on your personal credit.
I know that. Yeah.
So stick around me long enough
for my down payment to buy them. So I want to kind of, you know,
I get it.
This year is the year. This year is the year. We waited last year. There's not a lot in our area that comes on the market that we like.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, all last year was not a very good market for the higher end properties. Like nothing was selling. So it's been kind of a while of us waiting to get something. But as soon as we do, I'm changing my strategy.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. And I know, you know, all the strategies that there are so many different strategies or way to utilize creative financing. And so I love it. And oh, one quick thing too, on top of that. So right now, and I usually don't talk about like what like date it is, because I don't know when somebody can listen to this. It might listen to this a year from now, but January, 2025, right now, just found out from a good friend of mine. He was telling me that he was looking at a website that has a bunch of data on foreclosures and short sales. He said just yesterday, because he's been watching it for a couple months now, just yesterday, the system updated with 11,000 new short sales, you know, pre-foreclosures on it. It was like 11,000. That's not good. I mean, that's huge. So I have no idea what's going to happen in the economy and the market, but for people who are ready, who have access to capital, you got a lot of access to capital inside your properties. It's just, you know, tapping into it if you wanted to do that. Everybody else, let's say if you have a home, you can do a home equity line of credit or at least get something so you have access, business line of credit. You know, there's so many different ways that you can be able to acquire these properties, because if there ever is a crash again, because I remember 2008, when I started investing back in 2006, 2008, the crash, oh my goodness, 2009, 10, 11, I didn't have enough money. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was buying as many properties as I could, just saving up money and buying properties. Now I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to gobble up as many properties as I can. Okay. So what would you suggest for somebody who is, let's say they're at a point now where they said, you know what, I really not just want to, they already started investing. They bought their first property, but they want to get to 8 properties. Maybe they have one and they're like, man, I want to do exactly what Casey's done. Do you have any tips, any suggestions that they should follow?
I would say know your risk level and know your time commitment that you have available. You know, do you have time available to fix up your own properties? Are you going to be having to buy out of state? You know, do you have access? Where's your access to money going to come from? Because that's going to change the type of strategy that you can use too. If you're borrowing, if you're taking on a private money partner, or if you have to do a hard money loan and do a flip, you can flip to make money. There's so many things. And where are your skills? You know, are you a people person? Do you have good people person skills? Do you have good renovation skills? I know people that have been general contractors that have flipped their way to make extra money. So you can do that in real estate too. But what I did was just found something that I liked to do and made some extra money doing it. You can do it on the side. It doesn't have to be something that's going to make you $100,000 in the first year. You know, start off with something that you like, that will give you pleasure, and you never know what it could turn out to be.
What do you think about short-term, mid-term, and those other types, rather than long-term? What do you think about those types of properties?
Personally, they're risky. You know, they're risky.
I love it. I agree with you. I 100% agree.
Yeah. You know, we've been looking, besides moving and buying a primary, a few years ago, we wanted to buy a lake house, and we were going to turn that into a short-term rental. We were in contract several times, but out in the county where they had the lake houses, a lot of people would build their own houses. And I mean, literally build their own. So when you get the home inspection, the foundations were ridiculous. And this, like, you would have a whole upstairs full of bedrooms and no bathroom, just weird. So needless to say, that never really worked. But we wanted to short-term rental it too. And when I have people ask me if they should do short-term rentals, my response is, can you hold it for 6 months without anybody living there? Can you pay all the bills? Can you pay the mortgage, the utilities, the internet, the yard guy? Can you pay for all of that without stressing out? Because so many people that I know are trying to make big money with short-term rentals and they have no money. I'm like, well, if you have no money, buying a short-term rental is not for you because it's very high risk. We could have another pandemic and now everything's shut down. Are you going to lose your asset because you couldn't afford to hold it? So kind of my rule of thumb is for every 4 to 5 long-term rental properties that you buy, you're safe to buy a short-term rental because your long-term rentals can cover the expenses or at least mostly cover the expenses of your short-term rental.
I think it's great, great advice. I personally, obviously everybody's different risk tolerances, strategy and all that stuff, but how I am, 80% is long-term and the other 20% could be short, medium term. But here's the caveat. I don't buy a property that I cannot rent long-term and still make the mortgage payment and make the expenses. Like I don't necessarily have, because I have plenty of properties now, I don't have to make, and it is a reason why, but I don't have to make passive income on every single property that's like a short-term property, because I know I'm renting this property, buying it for short-term, so I'm going to make more money. But worst case scenario, economy crashes. I remember back in 2010, there were hotels that were going bankrupt because nobody's traveling. Yes. So with that, I buy a house. I know I can rent it long-term and still pocket a little bit of money. But the reason why, because I always tell everybody, this is more advanced strategy. If like, if you're getting to the investor level, I'm talking to the person listening to this right now. If you get to the investor level, you start looking at, oh my goodness, I have plenty of money coming in. I need to figure out a way to keep Uncle Sam from taking it. And so what I do now. I literally buy one Airbnb property every year that is 400,000, a little more, but 400,000, 500,000. And turn it into Airbnb, make sure it's cash flowing. That's definitely, I can still rent it long-term, still make money. Then I do a cost segregation study. And with that, this last time, this one property that I have $100,000 tax write-off in the first year because I did a cost segregation study on this property. I'm like, that's a lot of money. So Uncle Sam doesn't get. So praise the Lord. So every year I might have to do more, but when you have more money than time and you need to protect it, just use the tax laws that are beneficial for you. So Casey, what else? Like what negative things or a roadblock, something that's, oh man, that cost me 50 grand or, you know, 5 grand, whatever it might be. Do you run anything like that?
I would say my biggest failure to date has been with tenant issues, right? I landlord my own properties. And one thing that no one taught me how to do, I didn't know courses existed when I first started investing in real estate, was to pick better tenants, right? And to not always go with your gut. Go with your gut, yes, but you need to do all the proper tenant screening. And what I've learned is that the neighborhood makes a difference. You're not really buying a house. You're investing in a type of tenants that are taking care of your house, taking care of your assets. So if you can buy in better neighborhoods, we have higher quality tenants, they're less likely to break the rules and cost you tons of money and damage and turnover and leaving in the middle of the night. So I have a nightmare tenant story and she cost me almost around $20,000. Yeah. And repairs and all the things. She totally screwed me over and I know I'll see her one day at the grocery store and I'll just want to wring her neck.
You guys live in the same town. That's right.
Yeah, we live in the same town. Sometimes I'm in a bad mood. I think about her, you know.
I invest in Ohio, Texas, Arizona, Tennessee. I think it's Missouri. But yeah, I invest in all. And so I do enjoy not being anywhere near my properties because I just let the property manager take care of it. But a big thing is, I don't buy a property unless the property manager can be afforded by the rents, because I don't want to manage properties. I think it's fantastic that you're managing your properties because that's money in your pocket. Now, So does your husband still work? Is he still doing that? What is he doing?
Barely. Yeah. Okay. He's quitting soon.
Oh, good. Good. That's awesome.
Tell everybody. Yeah.
I love it. Okay.
He works with his best friend. So it's his best friend's a president. So it's been difficult to go because he loves his coworkers because they're his best friends. And, and he likes helping them out. He doesn't want to leave them high and dry and he knows he's the best at what he does. So it's been a couple years of me saying it's time to say goodbye. So this is going to be the year. I'm fairly confident that he finally said he's been putting the bug in his ear. Like, hey man, I'm out. I'm done, you know, sort of deal. So, he sticks around. Health insurance. Okay. I guess we get that, but you know, I'll have to figure that out. I've already gotten quotes. I already said, hey, like I already got health insurance quotes from independent companies. Like
I use,
you don't need your job for that.
I use MediShare. Have you heard of MediShare?
No, I haven't.
It's a Christian medical sharing program. And it's basically, so they say it's not insurance, but it's, think of like in Acts chapter 2, where it says that all the believers gathered their things together and nobody had a lack. You know, everybody brought things together. Similar to that idea where everybody pools their money together, and we're obviously trusting MediShare to make sure things, but I did lots of research. I've been with them for like 15 years, 10, 15 years. I even got rid of my government health insurance because it was like $1,000 a month. Got rid of that and went to MediShare because I believe God's going to take care of most things in general. Obviously, there's catastrophic stuff. But anyways, long story short, been with MediShare. They've been great. So I definitely take a look. Just type in MediShare.com or something like that. You'll find it. But a Christian medical sharing program.
My sister lives in California. She's an entrepreneur. She has her own business. And so they're part of a Christian insurance sharing company too. But when I looked into them, they just did California. So I'm like, shoot, I've got to find one that does Tennessee or it does nationwide, because the one that she does didn't really work for
Got it. You, yeah. Look up MediShare. They should be, should be just fine. But man, Casey, so this is fantastic. And it's so fun how similar our families are, number one, but also how we invest and how we got started and everything. Super pumped. Now I want people, I want you to start a podcast. And so I would love to be able to share with everybody. Talk to us about the idea of the podcast. And if anybody wants to share with me, if like, hey, that's a great idea, I would love to hear it. What's your idea for a podcast?
So I want to do a podcast on real estate, but I want it to be entertaining and I want it to be fun, along with learning some tips and tricks too. So I want my podcast to be on tenant horror stories. You know, everyone, you got to be a good storyteller to get on. But that's the only requirement. You got to be a good storyteller and have a good story, and it's got to be true. And I want people to know, how did you overcome your tenant horror story? What did you do differently to prevent that from happening again? I think to me, that sounds really exciting to hear all those stories and then what people did to, you know, nip that in the bud for next time. That's my idea.
Love it. And I'm encouraging you to say, hey, podcasting is fun. It's so fun. You meet great people, which is great. You also get your message out to people. And like you said a little bit ago, you know, when you start coaching people, it takes more like of your person, of who you are. Like I can always make more money. When I put on my conferences, when I coach people and stuff like that, I feel fulfilled because I'm helping other people, but it's so hard. Meaning it takes so much work. It's so much easier just investing in real estate. Like literally it's so much easier. I bought 3 properties in the last month and I'm going to be making plenty of money, but doing all this other stuff, it's like, you know, it's fulfilling is what it really comes down to. So Casey, everybody, you should follow Brick by Brick Wealth at on Instagram. How else can they reach out to you? You know, maybe hopefully even work with you.
Yes. You can find me on YouTube too. I put out a new video every week on real estate, Brick by Brick Wealth. And you can visit my website, brickbybrickwealth.com. I have a contact me form on there. And there's information if you're interested in working with me. There's all my stuff on my website. So you can check me out there.
Love it. Hey, if me being a employee, just working a regular dead end job and a homeschool mom can invest in real estate, anybody can. And so that's one thing, big reason why I want to bring you on, Casey, is because we're normal everyday people, like regular everyday people. And if we can do it, everybody can. So Casey, thank you so much. Great meeting you and great having you on the show.
Thank you so much.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.